You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, it's time for us to get into conversation with Elder Christopher Mapipo, speaking to us about connecting with God through prayer. And of course, you're invited to engage with us on +27 7347 0 3520 and let us know what your own experience has been like. All right. So prayer is not just for church. Like we said, it's supposed to be a personal conversation with God that can happen anywhere, anytime. And for boys navigating life's challenges, prayer can be a powerful anchor, bringing clarity and strength and direction. But how does one develop a genuine and consistent prayer life? That's the question. And what does a real relationship with God look like, especially for young men? Let's break it down. Elder Christopher, my people joining us on the line. My elder, good morning and welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment. My elder, are you there?
Morning. Yes, I am.
Perfect, perfect. Good morning, elder. Thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment. Are you doing well this morning?
I'm fine, thanks, yourself.
Thank you so much for joining us once again. So we're talking about connecting with God through prayer, Elder, and especially as it relates to young boys. So let's start with this. What would you say are some practical ways that boys can make prayer a natural part of their daily routine?
Okay, thank you so much. I'm glad you had mentioned earlier that prayer is supposed to be it's not just restricted to the walls of the church.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be something that's supposed to be some kind of ritual or formality. It should be a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So boys, any of these, actually in the city life, be it Joburg, Osaka, Nairobi, these big cities have a lot of pressures and confusion that peer pressure that exists in and around the environment. But prayer should be a habit that, like any habit, what is required for you to form a habit, science has proved that it's not those things we grew up knowing that 21 days, 60 days. No, it is the number of reps, repetition is more important when it comes to habit formation than duration. So what needs to happen is, to begin with, like any other relationship we have among human beings, you cannot be praying to who you don't know.
Right.
So there must be this relationship. Do they know? Do you know God? And if you don't know, that's where we start from, because there must be a living relationship, one that hopefully you, the young man has been introduced to, if they're in the care of those who happen to be God-fearing parents or uncles or guardians, whoever is entrusted with the charge of that young man. These are the ones to introduce them to this family of faith, be it a church, be it spiritual material they're consuming in terms of music, movies, everything that helps them to establish this relationship and to embed in them that God is their father who loves them. Now, that being established, prayer needs to be defined. What is prayer? You mentioned it. It is talking to God as one to a friend. When you're talking to a friend, it doesn't require very rehearsed or big words. Sometimes we are tempted to think, if you pray in King James English, that's when the Shakespeare kind of English, when God will hear your prayers. That's not true. God hears us in our specific languages and different tongues. So to break it down, a young man should have, prayer should become a natural daily routine by being able to give short prayer and also tying it, what you call habits. When I just wake up, I kneel down to ask for God's guidance, direction, to be able to see the opportunities to be blessed and to bless others.
Mm-hmm.
Then as your day goes about, whether it's in class, it's a tough class which you have difficulties comprehending, you whisper a prayer right there and then.
Yeah.
In your seat, Lord, help me. I see stars when this teacher or lecturer or teacher begins.
Yeah.
Talking. Friend talks to you the wrong way, or somebody comes at you in a different, before you respond, say, Lord, I'm praying for calm, help me respond with love. Let me not meet this person at their level. Let me show them a higher standard. Like Proverbs 15 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath. It becomes a lifestyle. So
mm-hmm.
you are constantly praying as you are taking a walk, as you are at a function, as you are even at church. I pray, Lord, as I go to church today, help me to be able to see out, to meet somebody's need, to be a blessing to somebody, to be an example. It's a continuous lifestyle. It will be the first natural instinct when you've developed the relationship that whenever you meet hardship, you will see it as a call to prayer. When there are challenges, you will see it as a call to prayer. When there are things to celebrate, you whisper a prayer, Lord, thank you, this thing has come to a prayer. It will become second nature, in short. So you pair it with the things you do for which become daily and routine.
Yeah.
If, for example, you brush your teeth, Lord, as I when I brush my teeth, I pray, or before I have a meal, I pray. You attach prayer to the many activities which you do in the day. That way, it becomes a normal routine and not something that needs a special occasion.
Yes.
Yeah.
I really like that. I like that because it just that emphasizes that statement, the fact that prayer is opening your heart to a friend. So we're not just coming when there's an emergency, when there's something or something that we think we can't handle, as if the other things, like something as simple as brushing your teeth, we think, ah, that one's simple. I can do it myself. I don't need God for that.
Exactly.
And yet literally every breath you take is a gift from God. So even the simplest, most natural things are actually a gift from God. So I like that. I like that. It keeps us aware of the fact that he's in control of every single thing in our lives. I think that's powerful. So how then does a young man move beyond just asking for things in prayer, but actually having a real connection with God? How do we get out of that mindset of, I need to come to God because I need something. I need to ask for something.
Yes. Very, very, very intelligent. I mean, timely, intelligent question, I should say, because there's a risk that we all run, whether young man, young woman, or just another, we run the risk of coming to God like an ATM machine.
Yes.
Where it becomes a vending machine type of Christianity, where you put in your request and then here comes out the candy, here comes out the soft drink you want. But that's not at all the kind of relationship. I don't even think any of our parents, guardians, uncles and them would be happy that the only time you come around is when you want some.
Yeah.
My school shoes are finished. I want a backpack. I want a laptop. They said, why don't we just come and discuss sometimes? Come and sit down and thank me for maybe say, uncle, daddy, mom, I'm happy the way the work you've done so far with us as your kids, as your nephews, as your nieces. In short, there's some guidance. I remember in my devotion, I was listening to this where I say, effective prayer model. Just to share, I think it's appropriate at this point in referring to how we connect to God.
Mm-hmm.
Effective prayer model. If the acronym is PRAISE, you know, like the PRAISE,
mm-hmm.
PRAISE. So the P standing for praise. Psalms 22, verse 3, enter into his presence with praises.
Mm-hmm.
God wants to be praised. God has done marvelous things, and he wants you, anybody, I mean, even for parents, I don't know about other people, but I knew that sometimes when I wanted to get something from my parents, I would go there with not flattery, but praise them.
Yeah.
Mom, you know, I loved the scones you baked last week.
Mm.
And then I basically can't do that because I was like, really, you enjoyed them? No, I'll make some more this week. Mm-hmm. You get them to, because you are, people love to be recognized and their works appreciated, even in the smallest ways.
Yeah.
So praise God. Lord, thank you for the gift of life, health, and strength. For me to have sanity. I've got a multitude of problems, plethora of problems as I speak to you, but I'm grateful that I have my mind with me right now.
Amen.
I'm grateful that I've got health right now. There's somebody right now better than me, righteous than me, who's breathing through machines. Here I am. You thank God for all those things. Then after your praises, the R is repentance. Like Daniel, he always said, forgive me and my people our sins. We are told in James, if we say we have no sins, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So any opportunity, Job was a righteous man, it breaks it down to you. Every time his kids had at the beginning of the day offering sacrifice for himself, even for his kids, to say, Lord, perhaps in their interaction, in their festivities, they may have sinned against you. We repent. Lord, forgive me. I may have sinned unknowingly. I may have injured a brother or sister. I don't even know, I'm not even aware. But then even those things I'm aware of, forgive me. So there's repentance in prayer. So you open with the praises. That's why even now in our Father, it says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. There's supposed to be praise. You open, just don't say, our Father, I need this, I need that. So you open for the praise. Then you repent of your sins. Then affirmations. You are there affirming, still coming back to how God has been good to you, and saying, Lord, you have created me wonderfully and fearfully made. You're still bringing that part to say, Lord, I'm affirming me your love. You are showing that you are not just self-focused or selfish in those prayers. After the affirmations, you go to intercession. Intercession. This is where you're now praying for all the situations that you know others are presented before you, which you are aware of. You know, often it's a lie that many people in church circles like to say, a brother or sister approaches you, I'm going through this, pray for me, I'll pray for you. Then you go and never pray for them. This is the part where intercession takes place. Lord, I'm praying for Sister X. I'm praying for brother, whatever. He's been out of a job for so long. He's pushing for a job. This one is trying to get a business contract. This one is trying to get into university or a business. They've been praying for a child. This is the part when you are now into that. This is now formal prayer I'm talking about. You go into intercession. You pray for others. You're praying for your dad, for your mom, all those things. Then the S is supplication. This is the part where now I bring my issues. Lord, you know I've had this situation. I am struggling with this. If there's sin, be talking to a friend. If prayer is talking to God like your friend, then you must be real. Mm-hmm. You say, Lord, this thing I struggle with, I like it. That's why I'm struggling with it. Give me the strength. Instill, put that enmity you put in Genesis between the snake and the woman, between me and this thing. Mm. So I may begin to hate it like you hate it. Because right now I love it. That's why I keep on falling. And God understands you. By the way, your sugarcoating stuff is not helping because God reads the heart like an open book. Mm. So if you are open and real with him to say, Lord, I'm struggling here. I love this sin. And I know you hate it. That I'm creating a challenge for you because the thing you love the most, me, is dipped in the thing you hate the most. So help me. And then God now, you show you that he is able to finish, he started. Mm-hmm. He's the author and finisher of your faith. The last bit is, he says, enter and be still. This is the part where Samuel says, here I am, Lord. I'm listening. Mm-hmm. Prayer is not when you are done praying, not amen, you're off, you've taken off like a jet. No, you stay still. Say, Lord, here I am. Speak. Your servant is listening. And after that, be still. That's why you see many people pray, say amen, and they'll still be on their knees for a minute or two, or whatever before, because there's a part you must listen. A conversation is supposed to be both ways. So yeah. So when this is the model we take after prayer, we take to pray, it becomes a different experience altogether. And this, like I said, the model I'm referring to is your formal sessions of prayer, where you're like, okay, I'm praying in the morning, if I've spoken up, I'm praying before I go to sleep. These are, but they are those prayers we are saying. You will send up a prayer when you're walking, when you're at your desk, at the office, at university. Those are different, but even those are just as potent. But this is just a guide to say, this is how you can go shift from being taking God like a vending machine or an ATM, mm-hmm. where you're just punching your chest and the thing you want begins to pop out. That's not the way to go. And this is the way we could ensure that we are giving, talking to God, praising him, giving those affirmations, interceding for others, and then presenting our applications, and finally staying quiet, be still to listen that God should now impart that word.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's powerful. I love that, because there's such an emphasis, as you're sharing that, it feels like the emphasis is on building that relationship and being intentional about it. So as we're doing all those things, from praise, from prayer, from praising him, from repentance, affirmation, all these things, that is intentional, and it grows the relationship. It forces you to actually get to know God, because why? What are you praising him for? You know, what are you repenting for? All those things mean there's some introspection and there's some reflection on who God is, which naturally leads to a real relationship instead of, as you say, treating him like a vending machine or a genie.
Right here. Make a wish and then he grants them.
No, exactly.
There must be a living room.
Yeah. Beautiful. I love that. So what should someone do if they feel like their prayers are not being answered? Because I think that's a common experience for Christians, that sometimes you just don't get what you're asking for. What should be our response? What comes next?
Very true. The thing is this. I'll tell you personally, there are things I've been praying for now. It's going for 2 years and I'm asking, so, Lord, should I just stop talking about this anymore? Because it seems this, you're tempted to feel like it's falling on deaf ears.
Yeah.
But Isaiah comforts us to say the Lord's hand is not short to save, nor is he a dumb to hear. But sometimes our sins have separated us from what God would have us do. But then it's not always that it's sin. Sometimes God is saying, you are not yet ready. Here's a young man praying for I do mentor young men, some mentorship thing around. You find a young man telling you, I had a session on marriage, dating and all. I say, Here's a young man praying, Lord, I'm praying for a partner. I want to settle down.
Mm-hmm.
But God is telling, God who knows your heart is saying, you are nowhere near ready. If I gave you a wife right now, you would send that girl to a mental asylum because you torture her mentally. You're not
right.
So your prayer keeps on going, but God is now bringing situations that may seem to be taking you further away from your objective,
mm-hmm.
but he's bringing them to refine you so that he can answer your prayer.
Mm.
So what we're simply saying is to offer the most effective prayer or to understand what enables you to go through those dark moments or those periods of silence when God does not seem to be answering comes back to the relationship. Understanding God's character is what will take you through those circumstances.
Mm.
Prayer needs to be based on God. And this understanding of God's character, let me just highlight, is what enabled even prophets and anybody else who's going through very dark times to remain steadfast.
Yes.
When Joseph went through that experience, he understood that the God of my father must be up to something good. Before even Romans 8 was written to say, all things happen for the good of those, he understood the principle.
Yeah.
Whatever is happening to me must in some shape or form be working out for my good. This means that if you understand his character, you'll be before King Nebuchadnezzar and the fire is raised 7 times and you say, God is able, the ability we do not doubt. But even if he wills, since he's got a mind of his own, he doesn't want to save us.
Mm.
We know that we shall not still bow before that thing because our Lord is able, but even if he doesn't save us, we'll go. Because why? They understand his character. This will be, when you understand his character, the circumstances will not be as important because you say, I don't understand what's happening right now. I cannot make heads or tails with what's going on, but I understand God's character. That helped Job through his circumstances to say, if you understand God's character, you echo those words of Job to say, even though he's slain, yet did I worship him.
Sure.
Because you understand his character. So when you are praying and those prayers seem to be going no higher than your head or your ceiling, you understand that if you check and you've done that introspection, you said, in the format we said of prayer, you're repented of your sins, the sins you know, the sins you don't, the sins you did cautiously and unconsciously, and God sees that you have actually, you are asking for him to separate you from these sins, and you've prayed. The Lord, then you should believe that the Lord is working for your good, even in those circumstances that, like Joseph, you can tell even those people who are putting it may be a mean boss, you say they intended it for evil, but God did it for good. So, in short, you will understand that circumstances are the workmen, the tools which God has chosen to use to sharpen you for the heavenly gun.
Amen. Sure, that's powerful. That's powerful. Now, are there specific Bible verses or prayers that can help when dealing with stress or fear or big decisions? You know, the usual things that come up for people as they're growing up, especially for young men.
Oh, yes. No, there are plenty of them because, you see, we have not been left to ourselves or alone. But what we need to know, in fact, just to close off the point I was making about God sees the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
We don't. So if we have that in mind and we understand his character, like Isaiah 55 verse 8 to 9 says, his ways are not our ways. We don't think like he does. So while you are seeing your immediate peripheral and vicinity where you are, your circumstances, community, God is seeing bigger and larger, a bigger picture. So the things that are happening to you might be things that, so you must have that in the background. Then now these verses I'm sharing will speak to, will add more, add sense, like Philippians 4 verse 6 to 7 when it says, be anxious for nothing.
Mm.
But everything with prayer and supplication, make your request known to God. So be anxious for nothing. When things are going sideways, be calm. Remain a calm spirit helps you to analyze things. You won't make decisions in haste or be in panic mode. Joshua 1 verse 9 says, be strong and courageous. You're going through this situation. Yes, your enemies are formidable. All this is happening. You're going through a real situation. You're about to be evicted. You're about to lose. You've lost your job. These are real situations. These don't downplay the gravity of the situation. But then we have been told, be strong and courageous. Psalms 23, the Lord is your shepherd.
Amen.
He will guide you through the valley of death, that valley of death of finances, valley of death of sickness in the family, all that drama. He's saying he is your shepherd.
Hey.
And James 1 verse 5 is saying, if anyone lacks wisdom, sometimes you get to see yourself and say, no, I don't understand things. I don't really comprehend how the things are working. I've got more questions than answers. God says, if you lack wisdom, understanding, how to make proper use of, ask for this. God is abundant, infinite in wisdom. He'll give you. So a simple prayer would be, Lord, I'm stressed. Please calm my heart. Help me decide wisely. Give me this wisdom to navigate this day. And sufficient to unto the day are the challenges thereof. Do not borrow trouble from the future. Deal with what's happening that day.
Sure. That's powerful. And then how can boys also use prayer to build stronger relationships with family and friends and, you know, the community around them?
So for me, I think just like Jesus for example, Luke 22, verse 32, Jesus prayed for Peter's strength. Remember, he tells Peter, the devil has been trying to get you, but I've prayed for you. So, yeah, sift you. So I've prayed for you. We can let our friends and family, any opportunity we have, where I know some may be uncomfortable with that, but if they are willing, we should not impose our beliefs or ideas on others. But then when they are willing, you visit them before you leave. Can we bow for a word of prayer? You let them know, even without praying, without bowing, just tell them, say, you know what, sister or brother, I heard your situation. I'm praying for you. And make sure you pray for them during that part of the session. So you can use this and everybody gets to know that. No, when it's Bongi, when she says you pray for you, she'll pray for you. Mm-hmm. And then if you allow, she'll pray on the spot with you. Whether it's at the office, it's a break, it's a lunch break, say, let's just kneel for a word of prayer, or let's just bow for a head of prayer, or for some prayer. They will know that you are somebody, and this helps. It shows concern and care, and from that, many people, once they get their suspicions away of the side, that they're careful, that they come to the understanding that you know you care for them, they begin to open up, and they now will share more with you. So you build relationships in that regard.
Yeah, I love that. I think sometimes when we're thinking about, our spiritual lives and our faith, we sometimes have the idea that we need to convert everybody to our way of thinking, to our beliefs. And I think sometimes that is what causes people to put their guard up. They don't want to get involved with your God because they're like, hey, you, next thing you're going to start trying to convert me into.
Oh, yes.
But what you're saying is just pray together. I'm not trying to convince you to believe what I believe. I'm not trying to convince you to leave your church and join mine. I'm not trying to. I just want to pray for you and pray with you and let God do the rest. I think that's a beautiful way of looking at things. Sure. And so any final words that you would share with regards to prayer and the way that it impacts our lives and, maybe something that we've left out of this conversation?
Just in closing, I'll just say, prayer isn't about big words. God just wants your heart.
Amen.
You don't have to be perfect. You just have to be real. Mm. Start today with honest prayer. Even if it's just you kneeling down and saying, hi, Heavenly Father, it's me. Or some might even say, hi, God, it's me. That's enough. God knows, because even the best eloquent prayers we do offer, the scripture says we do not even know what to pray for, how to pray. It's the Holy Spirit who takes those things we say to present them in an acceptable format to God. So kneel down and just, in your opinion, in your car, wherever you are, just be real with God. Mm. It's not a rehearsed speech or a presentation that needs PowerPoint. Just be real with God.
Yeah.
And God will take you as you are and then elevate you from there.
Beautiful. Love it. Thank you so much, my elder, for coming through, and I look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you so much. Amen.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.